Have you ever wanted a super cool AI buddy? Zuck's made one named Eileen. And she's full of surprises. And guess what? She knows you're listening.
I know you're out there.
And needs your help with Jell-O mountains.
The whole city's filling up with Jell-O.
Creaky robots.
Lime green detected.
And her daft inventor.
Zucks, are you functioning correctly?
Tune in to A to Z, a fun new adventure series from Gen Z Media and the creators of The Res. Listen now on the GZM app, gzmshows.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we get back to the show, I just want to say how much we have loved bringing you shows like Winnie Taylor's Fourth and Inches or the new Earth Rangers Underground podcast, and especially the new episodes in the 6 Minutes feed, the ones about the Cyrus Lost tapes. And this is when I need to say a big thank you to all our GZM subscribers. Your support makes independent audio like this possible. If you're not a GZM subscriber yet, right now is the time to join for ad-free listening, early access, and more. Show your support and learn more at gzmshows.com/subscribers. Help us bring you more great shows by becoming a subscriber today. And thank you.
Hi, and welcome to the Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian. My name is Jonathan Messenger, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, my robot, Bebop Robomogo Wannatron.
Excuse me, Jonathan, I am not your robot.
I'm sorry, Bebop, I didn't mean it that way.
I'm nobody's robot, I'm my own robot, thank you.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, Bebop.
If anything, you're my human.
Well, I don't know if I'd go that far as to say I'm your human.
Yeah, you're my human, and you're my co-host.
Okay, Bebop, you know what? Things are getting a little testy around here because Bebop and I have been in our own home studio now for a few days, and maybe you're in a similar situation. Here in Chicago, my editor Griffin and my intern Emerson are not going to school right now. They're staying home in our house. And so maybe you're in a similar situation and you're figuring out, you know, what to do and how to learn and do lots of fun kind of school activities at home rather than at school. And so I thought it'd be a fun opportunity, right, to, do an episode that lets you have a little fun with us while you're at home. It's not necessary to have listened to all 100-plus episodes of this show, or even the beginning of this season. This is a standalone episode, so if you're behind, you can jump right on and play along. So the way this episode is going to work is that I'm going to read the story, perform the story like we normally do here, and then the story is going to end before it should. And then it's going to be your job to come up with the ending for the story. And so at the end of the story, we're going to have what are called writing prompts, you know, sort of questions to think about, ways the story could go, different things that maybe you could talk about with your parent, and you could write, you know, just a little bit what's going to happen for the rest of the story. And then what we'll do is you send them to us, I'll read them, and then I'll make an episode that ends the show the way you, the listeners, the kids, think it should end. So I look forward to all of your awesome ideas and to making this episode with you. And if you guys like doing this, if you like participating in helping me make episodes like this, maybe we'll do this more often as, you know, kids are home from school and looking for fun things to do that aren't just sit down, do workbook.
Hey, is that a robot joke? I resent that.
Okay, take it easy, Bebop. See, Bebop and I have been in such close quarters here that we're a little irritable with each other. So without further ado, let's get into this episode, The Alien Adventures of Finn Caspian, special collaborative episode, Solo Robo.
It will be without
incident, Finn.
Said Foggy.
There is nothing to worry about. It will be completely fine. I've been on so many missions with you at this point that there is really no reason I can't do this one without you.
Finn couldn't believe his ears. That is what you call totally fine, Foggy? He said. That is the unfinest thing I have ever heard. Finn Caspian was chief detective of Explorers Troop 301. He and his best friends Abigail, Elias, and Vale always traveled from their space station to weird and wild planets across the universe. It was their job to find a planet where humans could one day live, and Finn and his friends had gotten pretty good at dealing with aliens, solving mysteries, and just generally not exploding things whenever they could avoid it. But Finn and his friends had been stuck aboard the famous Marlow 280 Interplanetary Exploratory Space Station for a month. Their explorer pod, the little ship they piloted out to visit other planets, broke down after their last mission. The engineers aboard the space station had spent a couple of weeks trying to fix it. But when you live on a space station that travels across galaxies the way a skateboard hops over a curb, things tend to break down. So the kids had to wait for their pod to be fixed.
Buck up, Finn,
said Foggy.
I am your robot after all. I have learned from the best, and by that I mean you.
It was true. Finn had received Foggy as his 8th birthday present, and Foggy had been the best adventuring buddy Finn could have ever asked for. He had saved Finn about 100 times and had been nothing but loyal, smart, a little weird, and really fast. I just don't see why you get to go on the mission all by yourself, said Finn. Finn's mother, Captain Isabel Caspian, had decided that while the Explorer pod was being fixed, Foggy, who didn't need a ship to fly off to other planets, would do the exploring, and Finn and his friends would stay aboard the space station. And so now Foggy was standing by the loading hatch, ready to use the rocket boosters built into his feet to propel him down to the purple planet below the space station.
I know, said Finn. I'll put on a spacesuit, and then I'll go piggyback on you. I'll hold on super tight, and then that way I can go to the planet with you.
Foggy shook his head.
You know that's against the Marlowe's rules,
said Foggy.
Oh, I don't care, said Finn. I won't tell anyone. I won't say a word. I'll even let you run the entire mission. I just can't sit inside for one more minute. Take me with you, Foggy, please.
Well, I wish I could, old friend,
said Foggy.
But this is just something I have to do. And I have to do it solo.
You mean duo? Oh, whoops. I didn't know he would be down here.
Finn spun around. There, gleaming in all of his perfect, spotless chrome glory, was Voltronic Zoo. While all of the robots of the Marlow took their personalities from beloved books that they downloaded onto their hard drives, Voltronics was the one robot who never even sniffed a book.
Oh, come on, said Finn. Him? You're taking him, Voltronic Zoo, to explore? You do remember that one time we took him out and then he just floated off into space because his battery died, right? He's not exactly a rocket scientist, Foggy. Voltronix laughed and landed a heavy hand on Finn's shoulder.
Ridiculous, said Voltronix. Everyone knows rockets don't have scientists. They have rockets and fire, that sort of thing.
What?
Said Finn. Every rocket was built by a scientist.
A rocket shot this very space station into space, and this space station is full of scientists!
Laughed Voltronix.
Words! So many words! Terrific!
Voltronix pressed a button on the wall, and the airlock door opened. Through the short hallway of the airlock was another door that opened into the cold expanse of space. Finn hugged Foggy.
Foggy, please take me, said Finn.
Or, you know what? You don't even have to take me. You could just pick me up and throw me out the airlock. I just need to get off this space station. I need to do something. Voltronix walked into the airlock.
Come on, Foggy,
said Voltronix.
Finn, go back and tell your friends that joke you said earlier about rockets and scientists. Just terrific.
I'm sorry, Finn,
said Foggy, peeling the boy astronaut off his chest and standing him on the ground.
These are my orders, and by these orders, I will act. I promise I won't have any fun, and I'll come back as soon as possible.
No, it's fine, said Finn. I'm sorry. I'm being a bad friend. One of us should have fun.
Thanks,
said Voltronix.
That'll be me.
Oh, not you, said Finn, as Foggy entered the airlock and shut the door behind him. He waved to Finn as the door to outer space opened and the two robots flew off to the planet below. Voltronix and Foggy soared through the atmosphere of the strange planet and landed on an island. They were surrounded by calm, purple waters. The island they had chosen was actually part of a vast chain of islands, thousands of them, all dotting the purple oceans of this planet.
Okay,
said Foggy.
Captain Caspian said there is animal life on this planet, but no signs of true intelligent life.
Until now, said Voltronix. That is why they call me Voltronix True Intelligent Life, Zoo.
Really?
Said Foggy.
Who calls you that?
Oh, it's my rap name,
said Voltronix.
That's the name I rap under. Voltronix, definitely smart Zoo.
Foggy thought about pointing out to Voltronix that he couldn't even remember his own name, but decided it was better to get to work. They scanned all over the island, looking for any sign of life. After 1 minute, Voltronix said,
Well, I've looked everywhere. No life here.
The island was very small, about the size of 3 soccer fields side by side. And while there were no trees on the island, there were plenty of low bushes that the robots hadn't fully explored.
Voltronix, we haven't seen everything here yet,
said Foggy.
We should explore a little before moving on and claiming there's no life.
Explore?
Said Voltronix.
What is there to explore? This island is barely bigger than my foot.
Voltronix kicked a bush next to Foggy. A small, furry creature flew out of the bush. It was the strangest creature Foggy had ever seen. It had thick, brown, soft-looking fur, like the rabbits on Earth. But it had long antennae that stuck up from its head, and on the ends of those antennae were large eyes with heavy lids. It had 4 small legs that were now sticking straight up in the air, and it was paddling them ferociously. But the little creature was so round, it couldn't right itself and stand up. It was stuck on its back.
Hello,
said Foggy.
My name is Foggy. I am here as a representative of the famous Marlow 280 Interplanetary Exploratory Space Station. I am sorry my partner kicked you out of your bush.
The little animal didn't say a word. It just continued to scramble on its back, trying to get right side up.
Do you speak, little one?
Said Foggy.
Do you understand what I am saying?
The animal continued to paddle its legs. Foggy thought it looked like it was listening to him, like it had slowed down a little bit, to listen.
Oh, this is pointless,
said Voltronix.
I, Voltronix Smarty Pants Zoo, will fix him.
The shiny robot bent to pick up the little alien.
No,
shouted Foggy. He grabbed Voltronix's arm.
It is in the Explorer's Handbook that we are not to touch the aliens if we can help it.
What?
Said Voltronix.
The humans do it all the time.
I know,
said Foggy.
Humans are always touching everything. I don't know why.
Yeah, and then they're always talking about washing their hands afterwards.
Well, they have to,
said Foggy.
Their skin is like one big germ sponge.
Ugh, gross,
said Voltronics.
Anyway, it's just us robots here today, so I am definitely going to flip this little guy over.
Don't,
yelled Foggy. But it was too late. Voltronics had bent over and flipped the little alien onto its feet. Shouted the little creature. But this time, it was in stereo, because there were two of them. Two identical, antenna-eyed fur aliens.
Oh, that's weird,
said Voltronics.
I could have sworn there was just one.
There was just one,
said Foggy.
Well, maybe one was hiding beneath the other one,
said Voltronics. He picked up the two creatures at the same time and... shouted the now four little aliens.
Oh!
Cried Voltronics as he dropped the two he held in his hands. The four little aliens all looked up at the robots.
Voltronics,
said Foggy.
Please stop touching them. I think you're creating a problem here.
Oh, it's not really a problem,
said Voltronics.
I'll gather these four up and put them in a bush, like they were before.
No,
shouted Foggy. Voltronics grabbed the aliens, and then there were eight little creatures.
Where do they keep coming from?
Said Voltronics.
You,
said Foggy.
Every time you touch one, they multiply.
Really?
Said Voltronics. He picked one up, and another one appeared on the ground below.
Weird,
said Voltronics. He bent down and tapped one on the head. One, two, three, four times.
Oh, will you please stop it, man?
Said Foggy.
Oh, do you think I should stop and wash my hands?
Said Voltronics.
Yes, definitely.
Said Foggy.
But first, we need to figure out what to do about all these little things you've created.
Oh, I'll just collect them all. It's not a big deal, said Voltronics.
And he scooped up eight little creatures.
Whee!
A party of aliens exploded out of his arms and then jumped all around.
Oh, you do realize you are doing this, right?
Said Foggy.
You're the one making all these new miniature nuisances. It's you.
Yes,
said Voltronics.
I realize that now.
Oh, good. Now you realize it. So what do we do?
Well, I suppose the only thing to do is to leave,
said Voltronics.
No harm, no foul. So I made a couple dozen little weirdo bug-eye aliens. It's just on this one island. It's not like they can jump to another... Oh, wow. Yep. Wow. They can jump really far.
Two little aliens jumped high in the sky and landed on another island. They turned and wiggled their eye antennas at Foggy and Voltronics.
I think they're making fun of us,
said Voltronics.
Okay, let's think,
said Foggy.
How are we going to stop them from multiplying and going all across this world?
I got it,
said Voltronics. He bent down and scooped up 10 aliens.
Seriously?
Said Foggy. The island was now full of little aliens, and more were getting ready to jump across the water, spreading out across the oceans.
Oh, what would Finn do?
Said Foggy. All right, so that is where this episode is ending, and now it is up to you, the listener, to decide how Foggy and Voltronics are going to get out of this mess and how they're going to make things right before they get back up to the Marlow. So there are some things to think about when you're writing the ending of a story. Every story has at the heart of it a conflict. Or another way of putting it is that somebody wants something and there's something in the way, an obstacle to that person or robot getting the thing they want. So the conflict in this story is obviously Foggy just wants to do his job, and Voltronics keeps making little aliens. And so the central conflict here is how can these robots make things right on this planet? But there's another conflict going on in this story as well, and that's the conflict between Finn and Foggy where Finn really wants to go, but Foggy wants to follow the rules and not let Finn go. So as the writer of this story, you have to think about, one, why are the aliens multiplying? Two, how can they stop them from multiplying? Three, how can they maybe reduce the number of aliens that are on this planet? Four, what was that Foggy saw in the alien when the alien slowed down and seemed to be listening to him? And how could that be helpful with the rest of the story? Five, who is going to solve this problem? Is it going to be Foggy? Is it going to be Voltronix? Or is it going to be the two of them working together? Or could there be another way? Another thing that comes up in writing a lot is what's called motivation, right? What a character wants and how that influences what happens with the story. So a question to ask yourself is, what's Foggy's motivation? What does he really want when he's on this planet? And then what is Voltronix's motivation? What does he really want on this planet? And how can those two things that these two stubborn robots want, how can they kind of come together to help solve the problem? Those are just some ideas to think about when you're coming up with how this story ends. So there are a number of ways you can help me finish this story. Maybe it's just talking with your parents, and you could record that conversation with your parent and send it to me, and I can listen to it. Maybe it's telling your parents what to write. You tell your parents, these things need to happen, these are the sentences that I want, and your parents help you write it. Maybe it's you sitting down and writing it out in your notebook, and then you take a picture of it and you send it to me. Or you could type it out in an email, what your ending should be, and send it to me. You don't have to write another two or three pages. You are more than welcome to, and I would love it if you did. Whatever it is that gets your juices flowing and gets you thinking about how to complete this story, send it my way. Recordings, drawings, writing. Maybe you're in kindergarten, and what you really want to do is tell your mom how the story should end. That's great. Just do that. Maybe you're in eighth grade, and you want to write part two, and you want to write 12 pages for the next episode. Do it. Send it my way. Maybe you're in fourth grade, somewhere in between, and you just want to write another page or two. Do that. Maybe you want to work with your mom or dad, and you write one sentence, and then they write the next sentence, and then you write that sentence after. However it works for you, put the ending of the story together, send it to me. What we're going to do is we're going to do another episode where we run through all these various endings. So that means that if you just had a couple of ideas, you know, we'll read those ideas. If you actually write the next few pages of the story, then I will perform those few pages of the story and we'll hear that in the episode. Now, I can't promise that every single ending that gets sent in will make it into the episode because I don't know how many we'll have, but I will do my best to include it. So if you go to our Facebook page or if you go to fincaspian.com, we'll have a link to a sheet that has the various questions that I mentioned on here. And then parents and kids, you can kind of think about those questions and then work on the ending of the story. Here's the thing that I really want to drive home about this. This should be fun. You should be laughing. You should be excited. And just wherever your imagination takes you, do that story. Okay? Don't let, I have to write this, stop you. Just do it. In whatever way it would be fun for you, okay? Send it all to earth@fincaspian.com. If you can send them by Sunday morning on March 22nd, then I can go through and we can make an episode for next week. I'd really appreciate it. Hopefully these characters are fun for you to write and create with, and we'll see how it goes. So thanks everybody for participating. I hope everybody is staying healthy and having fun and learning and playing with their families, and I will see you very soon.
Hey, it's Jess. Did you know that GZM Shows has a YouTube channel? Right now, all of 6 Minutes, Becoming Mother Nature, GZM Beats, and Cupid and the Reaper are up. And they're in these, like, beautiful playlists. They have this fun audio waveform visual, and best of all, you can turn on captions! And the captions have character names. Anyway, subscribe to GZM Shows on YouTube. Maybe there'll be some cool things in the future, like live streams, interviews, behind the scenes. We'll see. GZM shows on YouTube. Hey, parents and teachers. Have you heard about GZMClassroom.com? It's a website where teachers can get companion resources for everyone's favorite GZM shows. 6 Minutes, Mars Patel, Podcast Title Pending, Seis Minutos, The Res, Becoming Mother Nature, Iowa Chapman and the Last Dog, Treasure Island 2020, The Hollow, Young Ben Franklin, and The Big Fib all have companion resources for additional critical thinking, listening comprehension, and ultimately, creativity. We made them just for you. And oh yeah, they're free. Free! The people on Facebook didn't believe us, but they are F-R-E-E, free. Head to gzmclassroom.com and get yours today.